off our donkey. And what does that mean? This is, if you're a guest, you're thinking this is weird. We're going to get there, I promise. But we as a church are coming into a season, I believe, for revival in the town of Hoopston, Illinois. Because let me tell you, we all need Jesus. We are sinners. We are lost without Him. And the vast majority of people in our community don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, don't come to church. And He loves you so much, and He loves us so much. That's His mission for our lives, is we accept Him, we become part of His church, we love people, we serve Him, we live our lives and get to know His Word. And so today, speaking of His Word, if you have your Bibles or there's one around you, or if you have a device, turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 10. I'm going to read about 12 verses for us, and we're going to just kind of go over a couple points from these verses. If you've been in church for a long time, this, of course, is the parable of the Good Samaritan. Maybe you've heard of that. It's a story that Jesus told, which has a lot of relevance to our lives. So in verse 25, it starts and says this: "A certain lawyer stood up and tested Jesus, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' Jesus said to him, 'What is written in the law? What's your reading of it?' So he answered and said, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live.' But the lawyer, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'Well, who's my neighbor?' And Jesus answered and said this: 'A certain man went down from Jerusalem into Jericho and fell among thieves, who robbed him, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and he saw him and had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set to him on his own animal, and he brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you.' So when which of these three, Jesus asked, do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And the lawyer said, 'He who showed mercy on him.' And Jesus said to him, 'Then go and do the same.'" Go and do the same. Are you doing this with your life if you're a follower of Jesus? Are you having this type of compassion on people and showing people this type of mercy and grace? Because the moment you said yes to Jesus, your life became about others. It became about reaching lost people. And I want to ask you, how are you doing with this? Because there's people all around us, every day, all the time, unless we're separating ourselves from them, which we shouldn't be doing as followers of Jesus. Jesus said earlier in this chapter in Luke 10:2, He said, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest." And this means going outside of these walls and living life with a purpose, on mission, to love people, to get involved in their lives, and to tell them about and show them Jesus. What happens to a crop or to a plant if you don't pick it? What does it do? It withers. It dies. If you don't pick it and you don't harvest it, it withers and dies. People are withering and dying all around us every day in our lives. But unfortunately, it's so easy to become numb to that, to become immune to that, to take an attitude of, if they cared about church, if they cared about God, they'd come. They know. Guys, let me tell you, they don't know. And we need to make a better understanding to people that, listen, we are all sinners just saved by grace. We are all in need of Jesus. We are all in need of compassion. And as followers of Jesus, although our lives should look different, we should live different lives, there should be a difference. The deal is that God loves us all. Jesus died for us all. You want to go to heaven? Go and do the same. Do like the Samaritan did. And we'll get to in a moment why Jesus used the example of a Samaritan here versus a priest and a Levite. We'll get to that. But stop. We need to stop making excuses and start looking at people and situations and finding a way to involve ourselves in their lives and to show them and tell them about Jesus Christ. Because let me tell you something. If you're here this morning, you're a follower of Jesus, I'm right here with you. You were once by the side of the road. I was probably by the side of the road earlier this week and maybe already this morning where I needed grace. And I'm not saying, pointing to anything or saying I'm living in sin. I'm saying that I was once by the side of the road, and really in our human condition, we're all by the side of the road. But Jesus came down from heaven and reached into our lives and reached into this awful, messed up, broken, fallen world. Why have we stopped doing the same? We're told to go and do the same. That's how we get to heaven. So I'm going to speak about three groups of people this morning. And pretty much all of us are in one of these three groups of people. It's from this story. I encourage you to take notes. There's the priest, there's the Levite, and there's the Samaritan. So let's start with the priest. Now, I don't want you to think, when you think of priest, I don't want you to think of the black thing with the white thing. I don't know what that's called. I don't want you to think of a pastor. I don't want you to think of me. I want you to think of the kind of the principle of the priest. Because if you're a Christian, do you know what the Bible says that you are? You're a what to your family? A priest. You. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're a priest to your family. So in verse 31, what does Jesus say that the priest did when he saw this person who was beaten, left for dead, and needed help? It says, now the certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. He didn't just pass by, he passed by on the other side. He's like, I don't think so. Because the priest was riding a donkey, he had somewhere to get to. He was busy, he had his own life. He didn't want to reach down and get messy to this person. And if you're like the priest this morning, you see the lost person, the addict, the agnostic, the atheist, the white trash, the thug, the abuser of the system, the slut, the baby daddy, the loud, obnoxious person, the gossip, the person who only comes to church for the free meals, the person who hurts you, the person who's irrelevant, the person or the believer maybe who has fallen, the person who's not as good as you or I, the homosexual, we look at them and we say, nah. That's not what Jesus tells us to do. If we're not careful, we'll daily live and look at these people with irrelevance or even worse, with disdain. If you're like the priest, you look at them and say, if they made better choices, they wouldn't be by the side of the road. Shame on you. I'm not saying it's not true. I'm saying shame on us if that's how we feel. How dare we? When our own righteousness is, it's just rags to God. We are saved by grace alone through faith in Jesus Christ. And that means a lot. And we can get there. We can go and make disciples. We should be disciples. We should be discipling others. As a group of believers, the Bible says we should exhort one another and rebuke one another. And Timothy says there should be accountability. There should be all these things. But guess what, guys? 90% of people you run into aren't in that group. They're by the side of the road. So love them and reach down to them and get involved with them. And stop. I'm not even going to use the word judging because that's misused too much. But if we are honest, sometimes that's truly how we feel. We look at the people and be like, it's their own fault. It's their own deal. That's not how God has called us to be. He's called us to get off our donkey, to go and do the same. He's called us to go to the sinner, to get dirty, to pay for their hotel, to give them. This guy in the story, the Samaritan, gave him a blank check. When I come back, anything else they need, I'll pay you for. Now, when it comes to the lost, when it comes to this world, they should have a blank check of love and grace from us. Now, if you're my fellow believer and you've already put your faith in Jesus and said yes to Him, I don't give you a blank check, nor do you I, because there are standards and there's the word to try and live by. That's different. We're talking about the lost. We're talking about, if you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus, I'm not any better than you. I just have said yes to God's gift of grace, to eternal life, and I have found that's the only purpose in life. That's the only hope in life. That's the only way that I could be pulled out of the mess that my life was when I was a complete wreck and sitting in prison and just lost, far from Jesus. I was by the side of the road until Jesus reached down and gave me grace. And that grace is for all of us. And so often as Christians, we can be like the priest. We forget that we were once too by the side of the road. We set all of these things in the way. If you're here this morning and you're a believer and some of this hits home, it means that you're like a group that was called the Pharisees. And if you're a Christian this morning, the Pharisees, the deal is people's value and worth and social status and Christian status is all based on a set of values that you think they should live up to. Excuse me. And we oftentimes can think we're better than them because they don't live up to those values or meet our standards. And this is ridiculous, especially when it comes to lost people. They have no, there's no, if you have not put your faith in Jesus yet, you're not held to these standards of God's Word. Now, these standards are all here for our own good. If this morning maybe you're not a Christian yet, let me tell you, God's Word is for my own good. I have found when I willfully ignore it, I get myself into all kinds of pickles, messes, bad decisions, bad guidelines for my life, bad relationships, bad ideas, heartache, hurt. I found when I commit to following God's Word, and I still drop the ball, I have found that that is safety. God is a loving God, everybody. His Word, these rules, they're here for our own good because He's a loving Heavenly Father. That having been said, when people aren't living by that, It's not our job to condemn them. It's not our job to cast judgment upon them. It's our job to get off our donkeys and to reach down and reach into their lives and to love them and to not be like the priest and ride on by. I've heard so many Christians give these standards of, I would never go here or do this, or what are you talking about? I'll go wherever the sinners are. Doesn't mean I have to sin. It means I need to be involved in people's lives. You as a believer, you need to ask yourself this morning, how am I getting involved in people's lives? How am I giving them my presence outside of these walls in unusual ways, in ways that are awkward and sacrificial? Think of this very passage of the Good Samaritan. Who is my neighbor? If you're here this morning and you have neighbors and you're a Christian, a believer, a churchgoer, when was the last time you went and knocked on their doors and invited them to church or invited them over for a meal or said, can I talk to you about my faith, or just gotten involved in their lives? Go and do the same. You want to have eternal life? Go and do the same. The second category is the Levite. Now, you're like, what's a Levite? Well, a Levite, two things. I would kind of equate a Levite to a lot of us sometimes as Christians, that we're Christians and come to church, but honestly, deep down, not really that concerned, heartbroken, personally invested in trying to reach the lost. Because they're just all around me and they don't care, and this is just the way it is. Verse 32 says, the Levite also passed by on the other side of the road. The Levites were descended from Levi, imagine that, hence the name. And they were, Levi was Jacob's third son, and they were just better. They weren't priests, but they weren't just the regular people either. They were special. And I think a lot of us Christians, if we're not careful, we're Levites. We're just better. We come to church. We're different. And we have that attitude. We're just a little better than these people. Well, guys, if we don't get off our donkeys, if we don't go and do the same, if the darkness of Hoopston doesn't break your heart to a sacrificial, consistent, uncomfortable action to prayer and fasting, to a heartbreak for the lost, then you and me, if we're like that, we might be a little like the Levites. Where we're saved, we're part of church, maybe have been for a long time, but you know what? I just get it more. You know, I'm a Christian, so I'm a little better. I get it more. These people. Let me tell you about the Levites. If you're here this morning and you gossip and you complain about your church a lot, you're a Levite. And it's amazing to me that in 6 years of ministry, the biggest complaints I've heard from church people are about other church people. It's not the loss. It's not how can we reach them. It's not the sadness of the world. It's sometimes about each other. And I think we need to stop that. And we need to focus on others and focus on what we're really here for. Because sometimes if we're a Levite, the lost person, the addict, the agnostic, the thug, the white trash, the abuser of the system, the sexually promiscuous, the gossip, the person who's hurt us, the person you think is getting theirs if they're getting theirs, the homosexual, the person that's different than us, we ride on by. Because that's their own decision. They're the ones that want to live that way. And shame on us. How about starting a conversation? How about loving them? How about knocking on a door, or showing up at a jail, or taking a gift card or a meal, or inviting people to church, or showing up at the bar or the ball game or wherever they are to engage them with the love that's been shed abroad in your heart? That's the job of this church. It's the job of every Christian here. It's not the pastor's jobs. It's our job. Do you love people? Then go out and get off your donkey and go and do the same. Whatever jadedness you have, step back for a second and shed that. Repent from that. And go and do the same. Sometimes the donkey, again, we've just got somewhere to be. If everybody else, if they care, they wouldn't have said this. They wouldn't have done this. If you want to go to heaven, go and do the same. And be like the Samaritan. Sometimes we will never do these things and engage people and meet them where they are because we're too concerned with our own lily whiteness or our own cliques or our own set of friends. You guys want to know what we naturally do as human nature? It's the same for Christians. We gravitate towards those that are like us. But I want to give you a food for thought about that this morning. There is nobody on planet Earth, let alone in Hoopston, Illinois, life you could get involved in that has way more disparity than Jesus getting involved with you and I. When God Himself, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, when He reached into your life and forgave you and saved you or forgave you again or saved your marriage or gave you grace and gave you mercy, that's way more of a stretch than you and I reaching down to the addict, to the homosexual, to the promiscuous, to the lost, to the made a mess of their life. Who are we kidding? The fact that Jesus reached in and reached into our lives with grace, mercy, love, and compassion and then truth is way more of a stretch than us reaching out to anybody else. So let's stop riding on by and let's get involved in people's lives. The third person, the third group this morning is the Samaritans. And of course, yes, this is who we should be like. And it's funny that Jesus used the Samaritan as the person who was the good guy in this story, because if you don't know, the Samaritans were kind of outcasts. They were not religious people. They were not real Jews. They were kind of rejects. They were implants, if you will. Read verses 33 through 35. Said, a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on him oil and wine. Now, oil and wine aren't cheap now, are they? They really weren't cheap back then. And the point Jesus is making is this Samaritan didn't care. He was willing to give the best of what he had to just show someone compassion and love. He didn't say, hey, this cost me this, I'm not giving that. I think he was making a real point there. So he went to him, he bandaged his wounds, he poured on the oil and wine, he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day when they departed, he took out the money, gave it to the innkeeper, and said, hey, whatever it takes, give this guy what he needs. I think that's just an amazing story. It was the Samaritan. And you know what God is telling us when the priest and the Levite went by? Jesus was using the example of a Samaritan to show that love and kindness will always matter more than religion and rules. And it doesn't mean that there's not a place for religion. There's not a place. I mean, I'm not talking the rules of God's Word. God's Word is perfect. But I'm talking the stuff that we set in the way of us getting off our donkey and reaching down. Let me tell you, not a one of us here doesn't have stuff we set in the way of loving people. Our schedule, our own family, our excuses, our experiences, our busyness. But when it's religion, when it's look at them, when it's, well, this is how I live my life, that's ridiculous. Go and do the same. The Samaritans, again, they were rejects. They weren't churchgoers. And if you're here this morning, you're a guest, you don't know Jesus, let me tell you something. God loves you just like you are. God sent Jesus to die for you. He knows everything about you, the good, the bad, and grace is for you. Jesus is for you. This church exists for all of us, but for you and for all the people who don't know Jesus, because every knee will bow and every tongue confess. Eternity is waiting for all of us. I don't care, and Jesus doesn't care what you wear, what you believe at this moment. He just wants you to say yes to Him. And then we begin a journey. It's a lifelong journey, and none of us ever get it. I'm so far from perfect, but I love Jesus, and I'm trying my best. And that's what God cares about. And there are people in my life when I was by the side of the road, and I've been by the side of the road a few times, let me tell you, who reached out to me. And I could pick people out from this church, and I want to apologize. I wish the world could hear me this morning. That so many times when someone comes and they say yes to Jesus and become part of church, and now the bitterness is gone and they're living a great abundant life, and I get into conversations of, hey, how often before you started coming to church, did church people reach out to you? Did they invite you? Did they love you? Did they? And the answer is almost always, not really. Not until someone purposefully invited me here, or we decided to come to church, or all these things. And I'm sitting here saying that. I love the church. I'm giving my life for the church. Church, we've got to do a better job. We've got to get off our donkeys. We've got to go and do the same. Better in Hoopston, Illinois. That's our mission. If Jesus can come into this awful world, if God Himself can become flesh, you can walk into a bar. You can walk into a dirty life. You can walk into a messed up relationship. You can walk into a gross house. You can walk into a situation that's awkward. You can walk into helping someone else. I could go on and on and on. We've been riding by too long. So what do you do? Well, what do I do to get off my... How do I go and do the same? It's real simple. It's the gift of you. It's the gift of your presence. Presence is vital. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God had given the law in the Old Testament, and we can't do it. We just can't follow all the rules. So Jesus had to come down and get present in the world. You and I have got to get present in people's lives. It's the gift of presence. It's the most sacrificial thing. It is way easier for me to write a tithe check than it is to go knock on a door and invite someone to church. It's awkward for me too. It's way easier for me to do a lot of things than it is to really counsel someone or see something and say, can I talk to you? You want to grab coffee sometime? Because I'm busy. I don't have time for coffee. That's more sacrificial, and that's what we all have to do. All several hundred of us, that's our jobs. Let me ask you this morning, where and how are you present with lost people, with rough people? We as a church, I don't believe, are present enough. So this fall, you're going to see something called Reboot. And we'll talk now. I'm not going to get into it this morning. And you don't even have to get nervous till like September about what we're going to be doing. For now, just put it here. Called Reboot. Of how we need to be off of our donkeys and more present in our community. And going and doing the same as Jesus did. Because you guys know in Hoopston, Illinois, if you're a Christian, you're in the vast minority. You know, we're kind of a remnant, if you will. But you guys know all throughout God's Word, He's always had a remnant. He's always had a people. And that's us. And guys, let me tell you what's going on in the world. Let me tell you what's going on in Hoopston. And I say this as a positive person. Hell is stealing lives and souls. And I'm ready to start taking some of them back. I want to start reclaiming what hell has stolen. Because people are deceived all around us, buying the lies. The church is this, Christians are that. Not if we just start loving better. Not if we'll proclaim the truth of the gospel with our lives and not just with words. Let me tell you what the church is. It's the body of Jesus Christ left here to do His job until He returns. To proclaim the news that He has come and there is grace. But there's also truth that you must repent and turn from your sins. And turn your life to Jesus. That's it. Call upon the name of the Lord and you will be saved. Every knee will bow and tongue confess, and everyone here will spend eternity somewhere. Do you want to know why Jesus cared so much about people and not about necessarily the rules or the religion or whatever it is? Because Jesus understood that heaven will be better and eternity will be greater than you can possibly imagine. But hell will also be worse. Darkness and separation. And you don't have to go there. God doesn't want anyone to perish. That's why Jesus came. And we need to do a better job of living that message. It's time for us to reclaim. I think of King David when the Amalekites came in and plundered and stole. David sought God and chased after Him and he reclaimed all that he had lost. Hoopston is lost. How good a job are we doing at reclaiming it? It's going to start with love. The kind of love, it doesn't matter if you're a Samaritan. Well, my life's not even very good. It's okay. Just give it to Jesus. Give it back to Him. Start getting serious about being part of reaching lost people. And God will use you. He will use you. Stop walking past. Pray a prayer to God that says, God, give me a heart for lost people. Let everyone I encounter see the love of Christ in me. The story of Hoopston, Illinois needs to be changed. And I believe we're going to have to reboot to get back to being the part that we should be in changing that. So I found a little video this week. It's called Change the Story. And it's about getting involved in people's lives on a personal level. Here's the only way we're going to change the story. Stop thinking about the church doing stuff and the pastors doing stuff. And you do something. You be on mission in your daily life. Let's watch this video and we'll talk about it for a minute before we close and bring the kids in. So I took three things from that video. Number one, the girl who found a mentor. Our youth center is going to have a mentoring program when we get it open. You saw the guy who was part of the addictions group. We have an addictions group that meets every Friday night. And if you're struggling with something, you need to come out to it. Or maybe you know someone you need to invite to that. But you're not sure you can because you don't know them that well. Get to know them then. Find a way. Find a way. The marriage with the small group who helped them to heal. I can promise you right now, part of Reboot this fall will be small groups. Oh, great. I got to go in someone's living room and talk about my life. We need that. We are not as connected as we could be. We're not as fruitful as we could be. And we're not as healthy as we could be because we don't have groups like that. And it's time. I promise you. So guys, in just one moment, we're going to sing. And what I want you to do, if you get those pieces of paper from your bulletins, I want you to finish this statement. The mission of this church is. And I want you to write what you think that is. What's your mission as a follower of Jesus? What's the mission of this church? Why do we exist? I want you to write that on that piece of paper. And when we're done singing, the ushers are going to come and collect those from you. Guys, let me tell you this morning. Maybe you need Jesus. Maybe you need peace in your life. Maybe you need hope or you need a purpose or you just need anything. We're going to stand and sing in just one moment. You can always come and pray if you would like, but I'm going to hang around afterwards to talk to you about church, to talk to you about faith after the kids come in. But for right now, as we sing this song, I want you, if you guys would go ahead and stand with me this morning, we're going to sing, and as we do, I want you to, if you haven't already, write on that piece of paper what the mission of this church is. And hopefully we just covered it. And I want to encourage you as you go from here today, when you leave this building, you don't check off that you went to church. You don't check off that you can feel good about yourself now all week. You are going out there to go and do the same. To get off of your donkeys. To get off of the cruise control of your life. To love people like Jesus loved them and loves you. And if you've never experienced that love this morning, the God of the universe is reaching out to you to say yes to His Son Jesus Christ and let Him be your Lord and Savior. If you'd like to make that move after the service is over and the kids come in, I'm going to hang around. I want you to come and just talk to me. Maybe you have questions about church, faith. Let's talk. I'll hang out all day if need be. But for right now, I want you to be filling out the mission cards. And if I could have our ushers come back forward to collect those as we sing. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, I pray, Lord, You would give us hearts for the people around us. Because, Lord God, one day when we stand before You, we'll get to answer, Lord. I want us to have the right answer of, Lord, how we loved the least of these, how we loved each other, how we gave our lives for You as You did for us. Lord, as we sing now and prepare to celebrate all these wonderful young people, Lord, bless all that is said and done. In Jesus' name, amen.